Because it lends to an increased purity within the masjid. If everybody tries to use the washroom, there's one or two people trying to maintain the washroom, there's obviously, it's a small washroom, many people frequent the masjid, you can only keep up so much. Alright? What ends up happening is it becomes impure, and then when it becomes impure, the impurity gets dragged throughout the masjid, and then its problems start beginning. So the best thing is to prepare oneself at home, prepare oneself with a state of purity, and enter the masjid in a state of purity, fully prepared. So that's one of the other adab to keep in mind. Okay? Now, once you're in the masjid itself, so you've prepared yourself, you've driven to the masjid, you've walked to the masjid, now you're actually in the masjid, then the situation becomes complicated. Because now you have to take into account three heavy forces. Number one, you have an adab that you have to show in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's a very heavy weight. Right? Because you're in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are in the most blessed place on earth. Right? The masajid are the most blessed place on earth. So one, you have to take into account the adab that you should have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Two, you have to take into account the adab that you have to have with the servants of Allah. Because when an individual connects themselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they also gain a special rank. Every servant of Allah is a very, very special individual. And now you have to interact with those individuals, and there's always this danger of somehow disrespecting a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which would be a very, very dangerous thing. Right? That's also clear in hadith. So, that's the second issue. Then third, the masjid itself has rights. We know that on the Day of Judgment, the ground itself will testify where we prayed. Right? This masjid, in a way, is alive. There's a life that exists in this masjid. And so this masjid itself has its rights, that it be used properly, that it be used and kept maintained properly. Right? So these three things then begin to weigh upon the individual who walks into the masjid, and each of these three things need to be taken into account for. Now, as far as the adab that applies to all three, the central dominating theme there is purity. Basically, the key is purity. There has to be purity in one's worship for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? And in their intention towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There has to be physical purity. And then there has to be a purity of the circumstance, meaning that the masjid should be a place where there are no distractions. Because if there are distractions, then you distract from the purity of worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that has to also be taken into account, that one, we come pure physically. Two, we maintain the purity of ourselves mentally. And three, we don't create or an impure environment around with other people. So how are some of those things to be taken into account? Number one, the masjid has a right that no individual enter into the masjid in a state of major ritual impurity. Major ritual impurity, a person in a state of major ritual impurity should not enter the masjid. And if an individual is in the masjid and they, in a state of major ritual impurity befalls them, then they must immediately leave the masjid. Okay? So this is particularly important for sisters that are in a state of hayd, which is a state of major ritual impurity. They technically should not be within the masjid. Now, remember that the masjid has been defined, right? So I've told you the masjid is this room and the two back rooms. The cafeteria is not the masjid. So if a woman recognizes that she's in a state of major ritual impurity, she should go into the cafeteria area. There's a reason why we have speakers there. There's a reason why everything is set up the way it is within the masjid. So we should be very careful. Similarly, if a brother is in i'tikaf and a state of major ritual impurity befalls them, they should leave the masjid immediately and remove that state. Okay, so that's one adab. I mean, obviously these are summarized, and I'm just trying to provide some general principle for you, which is the idea of purity. Okay, number two is that as part of our attending the masjid, we create circumstances that impurify the masjid in certain ways. Okay, number one, we create a situation where by using the masjid becomes less clean than when it started. It's not necessarily a state of impurity. But for example, anytime a bunch of people use the masjid, we know that there's going to be a need to vacuum the masjid. There's going to be a need to upkeep the washrooms within the masjid. There's going to be a need to pick up things that are left laying around the masjid. That responsibility falls on everyone. All right? There are no servants here. We don't come as kings and servants are picking up after us as we leave. Each of us has a responsibility to maintain the masjid. Now, that responsibility can be by just helping out. For example, vacuum, you know the masjid needs to be vacuumed. After everybody leaves, stay behind and ask the management, can I help vacuum the masjid today? All right? Similarly, that responsibility can be fulfilled by just leaving a donation as you leave. Recognizing that we're not kings and these are not our servants. We are all in this together. If we come to a masjid regularly and we frequent a masjid, then that responsibility to upkeep the masjid falls upon every single person who comes to the masjid. It's a group effort. We're a community in the end, right? We support this masjid as a group. There's not just two or three individuals. Unfortunately, that often happens within a community, but everybody has a couple dollars, and if everybody throws in a few dollars on their way out,